Well, let me bring back Kevin Lucco here on Systematically Wild. And Kevin, playoff time, hockey time that we got going on here. So before we jump on the Iowa Heartlanders, let's just do a two Wild teams ready to start a playoff run this week.
Yeah, one run that we knew was going to happen was Minnesota because they had clinched for a while. But, boy, one that went right down to the very last day and the very last period was the Iowa Wild making the playoffs with and they'll be playing the play-in series first versus Rockford this week. So excited to have two out of the three teams in the Wild system playing playoff hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. And interesting that both with a potential, Minnesota will start with the Dallas Stars. And if the Iowa Wild should advance past Rockford, they'll be taking on the Texas Stars. So interesting to see Wild and Stars battling against each other if we get to that point. I realize Rockford's a tough hurdle to get over, and we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. So should be pretty cool. Well, Kevin, let's quickly close out Iowa Heartlander hockey for this season. So the team had a very solid closeout to their season, losing on Wednesday night, to Wheeling 5-2, but coming back on Friday and Saturday with a 5-2 victory and a 4-2 win. A club that I think showed a lot of improvement over the last 6 weeks of the season. And I think if this coaching staff proved that they're worthy of another opportunity with this team and the signings they've made, these youngsters they brought in this year, I think that things look bright for the Heartlanders.
I think the Heartlanders would almost wish there were a few more weeks of the season left because I think they showed that they were coming together as a team, and it's, unfortunately it was too little too late, but it would be interesting to see what kind of record they could put up if the season was indeed another month longer.
Well, so tough loss on Wednesday, a 5-2, as Wheeling battles back with three goals in the final period. Iowa had tied the game 14-44 into the third, but three goals in the final 4.5 minutes really sunk the club, unfortunately. They really battled and kept themselves. 5-2 was clearly not an indication of how well the team had played. Hunter Jones with 40 saves in that contest. They come back and give an identical 5-2 score to beat Wheeling on Friday night. Mitch Benson with a nice performance as he saves 41 shots in that contest. He's looking like he might be a real find for this club out there. They wind up trailing after the first period 2-1, but battle back with four unanswered goals to earn the victory. Then we're talking about on Saturday, another solid performance out of the goaltending by Benson. It has a little lighter night when he only has to save 26 shots in that game. But once again, Iowa falls behind 2-1, battles back with two goals late in the second, scoring 11 seconds apart, which I believe at that point was the shortest time frame, the quickest set of two goals in club history for them. And then they get an empty net goal with a little under 2 minutes left in the contest to earn the 4-2 victory. Kevin, that leaves the club overall at 22-36-14. And you and I said this all season long, 14 overtime or shootout games that they lost. Man, if you could just get 7 of those games, that would have been a playoff team.
It's amazing just how little things like that can add up throughout the season. And, you know, I thought another encouraging sign was 3,645 in attendance on Saturday night, too, for a game that really didn't mean that much in the standings. But it was good to see that the home team gave the fans a good feeling going into the off season.
Well, let's talk about Hunter Jones, Kevin. As you look at his performance down the last 6 weeks of the season when he returned back for the final time from the Iowa Wild, he looked very good for this club. They gave Mitch Benson both of those games on over the weekend, but I think Jones has at least proven he deserves another year in this organization. Do you see them giving him that kind of contract for another year?
Well, I was just reading today, he was on the last year of a 3-year deal, so it'll be interesting to see what direction the organization goes with I could, if he wants to stick around, if he feels like he does have a chance with this team or this organization somewhere down the road at the NHL level, he may re-up, or who knows, he may look into signing elsewhere, or he might see a more clear path to the NHL. But I thought he acquitted himself quite well this year, and I would think that if he wants to save the organization, he would have every chance in the world to at least get a job with the AHL Iowa Wild for next season. You know, the guy was a second-round draft pick. I don't think they want to just give up on him right now.
I don't think so either. And one thing I was very impressed with this team over those final 6 weeks too, Kevin, is I think you and I were talking about at the start of March that there was, I believe it was the leader in goals at that point was 11 or 12. It was a very small number. I'd be like, wow, this team has got to produce better. Tommy Perrottino finishes with 23 goals. Zach White caught fire over the last 6 weeks, finishes with 20. I believe they had five guys that finished with at least 10 goals this season. They finally got some offensive production out there, and I think you're just looking for that one. If they keep this team generally intact for next year, and we saw some solid performances out of a guy like Jesse Jocks, who played very well for the Clubs in the last 11 games of the season, they can get just one or two guys, I think, to add some scoring punch to get this team going early on. I think that, and get a little solid, a little bit better defense. I think that this team really has a shot of battling in that central division.
And I think, too, you really ought to look into bringing in some guys that have a bunch of ECHL experience just to get a good leadership group with this currently young team. I think that would make a world of difference. And, you know, there are guys out there that know that their lot in their hockey life is the ECHL, and it would just be nice to see Iowa bring in a couple of those kind of guys that usually end up pretty popular with the fans, too, because they can kind of connect with the average fan. But I think that would be a nice step going forward into making Iowa a contender.
Not to throw some cold water on any of that, but I think the big thing to point out, and I hear this around the ECHL, so I'm not spouting off anything that isn't well known. I think you're looking at what the commitment is of the ownership group for this team. You and I talked about this. It looks like at some point the coaching staff's hands are tied about bringing in players. They found a lot of great gems down the stretch here from the college ranks. If this team is going to advance, there clearly needs to be a better, or at least a perceived stronger presence from the ownership group to really want to do something with this club. I live here. I am discouraged by the fact that you rarely ever see any advertising about the club whatsoever. Maybe I'm missing it. I doubt that, but maybe I am. But I just would like to see the ownership say, look, we're all in on what's going on here with this team, because this is a brand new team and a great building and a great community, and I think they can have a lot of success here.
Obviously, you know, being 4 hours away, I don't have that hands-on experience like you do, but I could tell just from a social media point of view that it seems like most of the promotion is kind of at the grassroots level, with fans talking among themselves, coming up with fun ideas for get-togethers at the rink and fun nights to do it. You know, that's the kind of stuff that your marketing team needs to be doing if you're getting support from the ownership group. And it just, like you said, it just seems like the ownership group, and this is what happens a lot of times when you get ownership that's not hands-on with the community, that they're just looking at, well, if we're not losing too much money, just keep doing what you're doing, and here's your budget. Good luck. Go get them, kid. And that's just not going to work long-term, especially in a market like Coralville, where you got the University of Iowa nearby. I mean, look at the university. Wrestling is huge there. Men's basketball is huge. Women's basketball is enormous now. So that's you know, that's three sports, the men's and women's basketball and men's wrestling, that you're going up against for the entertainment dollar. So if you're going to make it in that area, you got to do something to stand out. Otherwise, you're just going to get buried, and eventually we're going to have to give the bad news that they are no longer a ECHL team. And I hope to never have to mutter those words, but the reality is that they need to do something to catch the fancy of the people in the Coralville, Iowa City area.
And you didn't even mention that Big Ten football is going on for the first month of the ECHL season.
Oh, sure.
You're battling with that as well. So, you know, it's like, while I understand you want to gear your advertising at least to some toward the college player, you know, participants and university students and stuff out there to really get them involved with the team. And that's great, but you got to be reaching out to Cedar Rapids and Marion and Iowa City and, you know, other places around there, even out to Davenport. You know, they have an SPHL team there, but say, man, come out of here and see higher level hockey, you know, kind of jab at Davenport and say, you know, why don't you come out of here and watch games? Here you could see better talent. So, there's ways to market this. I hope that they do that for next season, because this looks like a franchise that can really get on the rise here. And I hope that ownership jumps all in on that. So hopefully. Well, that takes us up to the next level, Kevin. The Iowa Wild jump into that fourth spot in the Central Division. Have a bit of an interesting week as they lose at home. And their closing home contest of the season, lose 3-1 to Milwaukee on Wednesday night. Travel down to Texas, lose 2-1 in overtime on Saturday, but come up with a huge 5-2 victory on Sunday, locking themselves into the fourth place.
I want to make a point right now. I saw this from some Iowa Wild fans after Iowa had to kind of cobble together a lineup for a big game against Milwaukee because there were call-ups to the NHL team. Bill Guerin is not trying to trash Iowa's season by calling guys up to fill in the last couple games for Minnesota. Minnesota was a banged-up team. Minnesota needed some guys to get some rest. And honestly, let's be realistic here. Nobody as a kid dreams of being an AHL player. Their goal is to make it to the NHL. And the story I thought really grabbed me was when, after the game on Wednesday night, Minnesota announced that, or was it Tuesday or Wednesday where they played Milwaukee?
Wednesday, yes.
When they announced that Damian Giroux was called up and he was going to play on Thursday night in Nashville, his parents drove. They couldn't get a flight to Nashville. So they got in the car and they drove all the way down from Ontario, I believe, picked up their other son who was playing junior hockey in Michigan, and they drove all the way down to Nashville just to see Damian make his NHL debut. I guarantee you they're not doing that for an AHL game. Nick Swain's parents found a way to get down to Nashville to see his NHL debut on Thursday night. It means so much to these guys, even if it was just for one game, to slip on that NHL jersey, play in front of a packed arena, and get a feel for the top level of hockey in all the world. So Bill Guerin was not trying to trash Iowa's season. Bill Guerin was doing what was best for the organization and what was best for those players. And every single one of them was back for the weekend in Milwaukee, and it made a difference as Iowa did accomplish what they needed to do, getting 3 out of 4 points over the weekend.
Let's also remember, too, Kevin, that it's not just about, you know, trying to do what's best for the players and look out for this. Bill Guerin's job is to create a Stanley Cup championship team. And every one of those players, I mean, let's just say this for a moment. If this team goes on to win the Stanley Cup, Damian Giroux and Nick Sweeney are going to be Stanley Cup champions, you know, because they played a game with the Minnesota Wild. They're going to be recognized as Stanley Cup champions. I mean, how much more awesome would that be, even if it was just for one game? You know,
They would be part of the team, but I think you have to play in a Stanley Cup playoff game to be on the trophy.
That may be true, but you're still going to look at it and go, man, I was on a team that won the Stanley Cup championship.
Oh, sure.
You know? So, and it's like,
so you know, and then conversely, I saw a point from a Minnesota Wild fan when Hunter Jones got called up to Minnesota to be the third goalie, basically the emergency goalie. And this fan said, well, why don't they call up Volstead? He's a much better goalie. And someone said, well, you know, they wanted to play playoffs in Iowa. And this guy said, well, who cares about playoffs in Iowa? This is the Minnesota Wild. They need to have the best guys up here. These guys that are playing for Iowa Wild are going to gain a lot of maturity in their game and a lot of experience by playing in these Calder Cup playoff games. And, you know, I hope they make it 2-3 round. I hope they win the whole darn thing. But I just found it moronic that this person would rather have Volstead get called up to Minnesota and sit in a press box than to have him playing in playoff games and getting the experience of playing in pressure-packed playoff games, as opposed to just doing nothing in Minnesota. So, you know, say what you want. If you're an NHL fan, you don't care about the AHL, don't discount the AHL, because everyone in that Iowa Wild locker room, I'm sure, were on one heck of a high after qualifying for the playoffs, and you know they're looking forward to getting a chance to go on a Calder Cup run.
First time the team's been in the playoffs for a few years there too, Kevin. So exciting times here for the Iowa Wild. As we mentioned, a tough loss against Milwaukee on Wednesday, a very depleted team. They score first in the game, but then give up three unanswered goals for Milwaukee to come away with a 3-1 victory. On Friday night, they travel down to Texas, wind up losing this game in overtime. Adam Beckman scores in the game on a bit of a deflection that wound up giving him his 24th goal of the season. Nice performance for Zane McIntyre, stopped 26 and 28 shots, was very good for the team. Then they come out on Sunday, Kevin, and just dominated Texas after falling behind early in this contest, come away with a 5-2 victory with two goals in the second, two in the third. Nick Sweeney scores twice. They get two assists off the stick of Nick Batan. A great performance to end the season. I think you not only are happy about entering the playoffs, but you come in feeling good after winning games in a very tough place for this team to play over the last few years.
No doubt, and you know, keep in mind, if they can get by Rockford, they're going to be facing Texas. So I think going down there and getting a statement victory like they did on Sunday is going to do a ton for their confidence if they do indeed face the Stars.
Jesper Wallstedt with 19 saves on Sunday, Kevin, wasn't really tested as much, but when they needed him to come up with some big saves, he looked very good in that second period in particular. This club now, two solid goaltenders. Both guys have had very good season. Both goaltenders have been on big runs when the team was winning games in January and March. These guys were key parts of that. I don't know what Coach Army's got a tough decision, I would think, for who's going in Rockford on Wednesday.
No doubt, Dan. But it's got to be nice, you know, just like on the NHL level, it's got to be nice to have two good options. And no matter if he goes with McIntyre or Volstead, it's going to be a good call. He may opt for the veteran and McIntyre, as you know, it will be a pretty hostile environment in Rockford, so you may want the guy with more experience to handle that pressure, and then maybe you go back and Volstead back in Des Moines for game two, and then after that, I think you got a good feel for it who's going to be your better guy if there is a game three.
Iowa finishes 34-27-11. Rockford finishes 35-28-9. I believe Iowa technically was the fourth place team with the better head-to-head record against Rockford this season. They both had identical points. I always thought it was wins with the next tiebreaker, but it has to be head-to-head record. So Iowa winds up winning on that. As you look at this three-game set, you and I were talking about before the show, Rockford had a lot of guys sent back to them from the Chicago Blackhawks. This team is going to be stacked. What do you look at for some keys for Iowa in the series?
Find a way to shut down Lucas Reichel and Rocco Grimaldi. You know, they're kind of polar opposites. Although Grimaldi was a highly heralded player coming out of college, he's become I'd call him an AHL lifer, but he's also a very good player in this league. And Lucas Reichel, this will be his minor league hockey swan song. He'll be a regular with Chicago as soon as next year. But the key is you got to shut those two guys down. And if you do that, I don't think there's a lot of offense to Rockford beyond them.
I think that's a good call. And I think you really got to test the goaltending. They've been getting some solid performances in Rockford. But one thing I think right now, for me personally, looking at this, it is the performance of the special teams. The power play has looked very good recently, and they've had a lot of success. But the penalty killing has been a little iffy for me on a lot of nights for them. And, you know, the playoff time, you just can't give up goals. You got to win a lot of 2-1 games or 3-2 contests. And one goal is clearly a huge difference in those games. So I think for me, special teams is going to be a huge key for this, for this club. So if they have the better special teams, I think that they're playing Texas a week from now. That's my call.
And I think, too.
What are we predicting for this? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think, too, though, we're seeing Iowa's lineup right now solidify a bit with Adam Beckman back and everybody's back from Minnesota. So I think you got two very good lines with Fogarty, Patan, Sweeney, and then Walker and Beckman with Rossi in the middle. But I think those third and fourth lines are going to be key. I think they have to keep the Rockford off the board and maybe chip in a goal here and there. You know, a lot of times in the playoffs, it's not your big guys that win the game for you. It's the guys that are in your less heralded lines that chip in a goal here or there and then shut down the opposing team.
Yep, I completely agree with you. What's your prediction for the series?
I think it's going to go all three, and I think Iowa will find a way on Sunday to beat the Ice Hogs.
I'm going to go with that too, Kevin. And for fans out there, Kevin and I are usually not very great in baseball predictions, so we'll hope we're a little bit better in hockey. So both of us have Iowa in three. We'll roll with that. Let's jump up to the big club, Kevin. The Minnesota Wild finish in third place in the Central Division with 103 points. The last week of the season, they close out with some 4-2 victory over Chicago on Monday, then lose at home to Winnipeg on Tuesday 3-1 before losing in Nashville in overtime on Thursday 4-3. 1-1-1 for this week. I think they kind of felt that they were, after the Chicago game on Monday night, they were pretty much locked into to third at that point, and so you're battling some injuries. You're looking to try to just stay healthy. So I really wasn't discouraged by the final two games of the week at all.
I wasn't either. I thought the Schultz and Moxie. I'm coming back with the skeleton crew on Monday night to win Chicago, who I felt still was in tank mode at the time, but they did actually win their final game and did not finish last in the league. So I thought that was showing some character. The game against Winnipeg, Winnipeg's playing for everything. So they were uber focused. Got great goaltending from Hellebuck. You know, a lot of other nights, maybe Minnesota scoring 4 or 5 goals, but they just had the worst luck of it and got shut down by Hellebuck. And basically the game on Thursday night in Nashville was, we talked about a chance for some young guys to get NHL experience, but the game result itself didn't mean much. And after, well, it just happened on Monday afternoon, Nashville sent seven of their guys back to the Milwaukee Admirals for the playoffs, so the Admirals are going to be looking really tough to beat. But 4-3 overtime loss, some guys got experience, and everyone stayed healthy, so you could call it a moral win.
How cool was that, that Patan gets his first goal and it's assisted by Walker and Giroux? I thought that was sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty nice. You know, Damian gets his first NHL point in his first NHL game. So, yeah, like you said, though, it looked like kind of like an Iowa Wild scoring play.
Frederick Gaudreau with two goals in that game. For Minnesota on Monday night, as Kevin mentioned, they battled back from a 2-1 deficit to win 4-2. Marcus Johansson with two goals, who you said has just been phenomenal since he joined this club. He really looks like, I mean, of all the moves that was made by the Wild, that really looks like that's going to be the cream of the crop of all of them.
I hope they can find a way to fit him in for next year, but I just got a feeling you may want to enjoy him while he's here, because I just don't know with the salary cap crunch that Minnesota's going to have to deal with. I just don't know how they're going to find a way to bring him back. But, you know, it's no coincidence that his arrival set Matt Boldy on fire. So he's been a key acquisition.
Kaprizov scores on the power play on Tuesday night, his 40th goal of the season. Man, I wonder if he wouldn't have been out. Could he have reached 50? I mean, he's been as red hot lately, so that would have been sweet to have seen. And then, of course, the 4-3 overtime loss.
It's very possible, because he was piping hot at the time that he was injured. And I know when he scored his power play goal on Tuesday night, he was pretty fired up about it. So I think he kind of knew that was his goal, was to try to get that 40th goal. So good for him.
So the team finishes 46-25-11. They are 5 points behind the Dallas Stars, who finished 47-21-14. Huge series beginning between these clubs. As you and I are talking right now, I believe that these guys are just underway. I'm going to pull up the score right now as you and I are talking. I think that they just got underway. Am I right? Yeah, with Minnesota up 1-0 here early on in this contest. We always hear, Kevin, that the most likely game that the underdog is going to win in the series is the game one on the road. That seems to be the easiest, quote-unquote, game to win. How do you feel about this team heading into the series?
Well, I hate to be brutally honest on this, but that's if I was getting paid to do this, that's what I'd be getting paid for. But Dallas is just so deep in their forward depth that I just don't know in a seven-game series if Minnesota can keep up with them. You look at the third line, Tyler Seguin, a great hockey player, is centering their third line. I mean, Seguin would be a top-line guy, I believe, if he played for Minnesota. So it's just, to me, it's just going to be so hard, especially if Joel Eriksson Ek does not come back, though there is a chance he could be back at some point in the series. If he doesn't come back, I just don't see how in a seven-game series they're going to be able to maintain Dallas's offense.
I agree. I think Dallas has a very, very deep team. You know, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of that St. Louis club last year that Minnesota battled with and was unable to get past. And but the difference in that series hung on when Jordan Binghamton came on. He was really rock solid for them. And I talked to you before the show began. My biggest concern about Dallas was their goaltending. Do you see their goaltending being able to hold up and knock off Minnesota?
I think Ottinger has played very well against Minnesota, and it's had a very good season. So I think that's going to be the key. If Ottinger plays like he has during the season, I just don't know where the goals are going to come from Minnesota. I really am not overly impressed with Dallas's blue line, but Ottinger has just been a rock back there all season. So if he responds to the playoff pressure and plays well, I just it's just going to be tough for me to see Minnesota coming out of this with a series win.
It looks like Gustafson got the start for game one.
Yeah.
A good move by the coaching staff.
I think so, and I don't think there would have been a bad call either way, but when you look at the stats on Gustafson's body of work through the year warranted the start in game one, and I think that Minnesota is very confident that if Gustafson struggles that they have no problem with having a future Hall of Famer come in with Marc-Andre Fleury, who has played some really good games against Dallas this season too. So, and you know, we saw it back 20 years ago with Minnesota when they made a playoff run. It wasn't one goalie. It was Dwayne Roloson and Manny Fernandez. Jacques Lemaire just played the hot hand, and that's what I see Evanston doing this year. I think he was a little slow to pull the trigger last year, and he waited till a real tough situation to put Cam Talbot in with the elimination game in Game 6 after going with Fleury for 5 straight games, or maybe he could have made the switch earlier, but I think this year you've got two guys that that are playing well and both deserve to play, and I don't think Evanston's going to make that mistake again.
A good sign for the team heading into the first intermission up 1-0. Kaprizov scores a power play goal with 48 seconds left in the period. Not only do you get that kind of heartbreaking goal heading into the first intermission, but Kaprizov off to a goal right off the bat, and your power play delivers. So you got to feel pretty confident about that. Kevin, give us your keys for this series.
I think the keys for the series for Dallas is to play well in your own zone. Don't make mistakes. Don't give up odd man rushes and get good goaltending from Ottinger. And I think for Minnesota, the key is to be committed to playing well in your own end and trying to shut down the Joel Pavelskis, the Jamie Benns, the Rupi Hintz, the Joel Pavelskis, the Tyler Seguins. You see, it's guy after guy with Dallas. But Minnesota's just going to have to commit to playing their system, which is going to probably result in some low-scoring games, but that's what Minnesota's going to have to do to win.
I'm agreeing with you on that. I think that the key is to really, what we saw earlier in the season, they were really playing a more wide-open style and then shut that down and started playing stronger in their own end, and that had a dramatic impact for them on this season. So I'm looking forward to that here throughout this playoffs. What's your prediction, Kevin?
I am going to say Dallas in 5 games.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going Minnesota in 6. I'm going to be the homer on this.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Minnesota in 6. Well, Kevin, closing out the show here tonight, what's a good playoff thing we'd like to talk about heading out for tonight?
Well, I want to talk about Brock Faber to end the show tonight. And what a story this has been. You know, obviously those who follow the Wild know that he was acquired by the Wild in the Kevin Fiala trade. And Faber played the season for the University of Minnesota. Obviously they fell a game short of winning the national championship. But Faber goes right from being a gopher in the national championship game on Saturday to logging the most ice time for the Wild on Monday night in Chicago, and then playing well in Nashville, and he earned himself a spot in the playoff lineup on the third set of defensemen tonight with John Merrill. So what a story from being a captain of your college hockey team to a week or so later being in the midst of a Stanley Cup playoff chase.
That is awesome. Kevin Lucco, thanks for joining me this week.
My pleasure.